This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 210, sponsored by InStock Trades, drawer boxes from collectiondrawer.com, and iFanboy listeners like you.
You can't say drawer.
If you want me to, I can hang around with you. If I only knew that's what you're into.
You and him, him and you. If that's what you're into, him hanging round, around you, you're hanging round, yeah, you're there too.
And if you want me to, I will take off all my clothes for you. I'll take off all my clothes for you. If that's what you're
into. Hey, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 210. My name is Ron Richards, not Connor Kilpatrick. He's sitting next to me.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, Connor. And to my left is Josh Flanagan.
What? Who? What? Hey.
Yeah,
Hello, man.
He just woke up. Hey, we're all together.
We are. We're all in the same room.
Wow, look
it's
at
amazing.
That.
Amazing.
Don't look at me.
We are from ifanboy.com, which is a website dedicated to comics. And every week we read the comics that come out on Wednesday. And one of us picks the best book that came out that week and dubs it the pick of the week, writes a review on ifanboy.com that you can go read. And then we come here and talk about it on this year podcast. And as well as we talk about the other books that come out during the week.
It's been a long day, folks.
It has. But before we get started, a quick reminder / warning that we're going to talk about what happens in the books. So it could be deemed that we might be spoiling them for some folks. So if you don't want your book spoiled, press pause, come back after you read your books, or just don't listen at all.
Go home.
This week, Josh had the pick, and it was a mighty choice in front of him.
You could say that.
Yeah.
That's one way to go. I had an okay book, but nothing, you know, it was one of those weeks where nothing really stood out all that much for me. And so when you do that, one of the things I find ifanboy.com is helpful for me for that. So I go through and I rate them and I look and I was like, well, what did I rate at 4, at 5? And God, if I haven't rated anything at 5, we're in trouble for that week. But it turned out that this week the only one that I gave a 5-star to was BPRD 1947, number 5.
Of 5.
Of 5. So it was the
final, finale.
Yes.
So don't jump on here.
No, yeah. Don't.
This is remember the spoiling thing?
Yeah,
that we talked about a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that's gonna happen.
You know what? I'm not actually gonna talk about the plot all that much
really?
In detail
because Hellboy dies, right?
You could read 1947 from the beginning if you wanted to. I would recommend maybe. I mean, you want to read Hellboy before you read this.
Well, isn't don't? I mean, cause I like the BPRD stories. I have the first two trades, but don't these come out as part of the trade series of BPRD?
I mean,
like 1947 is like volume 6 or something like that.
Yeah, it works like that. I haven't really checked because I just sort of buy them as they come out. It doesn't really matter, but I think without any context, it may not work all that well. But you could, you know, theoretically, if you had a working knowledge of what Hellboy was like, even from the movies, you could probably get through these and at least appreciate them.
So these take place in World War II and the...
After.
After World War II and young Hellboy's in this or not?
Yeah. Well, in 1946, he just showed up a little bit. In this one, he's sort of hanging. It's not really about him. He's there. Parts of it take place at the... This takes place at the airbase where the sort of beginnings of the BPRD are. It hasn't really been formed yet, and you know, Professor Broom is working in an office, and you know, it's kind of just himself and a few other people. It's not really like the big, you know, bureaucratic thing that it becomes later. What this series has been about so far is that I'm trying to remember exactly the details of it, but there was in a small town in France, There's like a haunted house, and they send these three guys, and there are demons and vampires and everything in the house, and everything goes to hell, and there's all sorts of fight. One of the guys gets killed, one of them is put into this like coma, and then one of them makes it out alive. So when we come back, the start of this issue, we've got the one character, Anders, is sort of under what's basically a magical coma. He's actually possessed by these three sort of demon ladies. And then the other guy who brought him back alive is just, he wants to be quit of the whole thing. He's pissed off that it happened. The whole mission went foobar. These are military guys, and they're trying to come to grips with this mystical fantasy stuff that's been going on around them. And, you know, he's pissed off about it. And what happens in this one, which is really neat, is that Broom calls in another guy, Ota Benga. And if you know your history at all, you will know Ota Benga was a real person. He was a pygmy brought over from Africa who lived at the Bronx Zoo, because we all used to be huge racists. But in this, it's a mythical idea of what happened with Ota Benga after he left the public eye. And he's a priest, and he comes in and he tries to perform basically what's an exorcism on this one agent. And he goes through this whole thing. It's really amazing sequence of him sort of chanting an incantation over him, exorcism style. And they go back and forth between what's happening in the physical world, the real world, where he's just standing over him in this empty room, whispering these quiet words. And really the lettering comes in very handy here. And then back and forth with what's going on sort of at a demonic level, where you see like him chanting these giant words and trying to get them out. And at the end of it, it's kind of, he doesn't really win. He's like, well, I didn't really succeed. He's, you know, the guy's fine now, but those demons are locked in. They're still in there. This is going to come back to haunt you. And the whole thing is basically a foreboding of everything that's going to happen over the course of Hellboy. Hellboy is the demon who is going to signal the end of the world. That's his curse. That's his thing. It's the thing he doesn't want to accept. And this is sort of the precursors of that. And Ota Benga basically says, you know, Broom's like, well, what should I do with this guy? And Ota Benga looks at him and he's like, you should kill him. And he's like, well, I don't want to kill him. He's a good guy. And he's like, there's nothing, you can't win. You can't beat this. You should kill him. And he's like, if you had the devil at your doorstep, and even if he was a cute baby, wouldn't you slit his throat? And they sort of cut to young Hellboy. He's like, hey, you want to go play catch? And so it's just these choices about, you know,
I thought he was a King Arthur's descendant.
Yeah, wasn't that what was revealed in the Wild
Hunt? Yeah,
but
we didn't, I mean...
So he's not really a demon sent to signal the end of the world?
No, he is, actually. That's still...
He's a little bit of both.
Yeah, he's part demon and part Arthur.
Yeah.
So the idea is that he would use the power of Excalibur to do that. That's what happened in Hellboy the Wild Hunt, which was also out this week.
How much of him is part Arthur of Maine?
Very little, as far as I know. He doesn't like shrimp at all, for one thing.
I remember you and Tom Caters loving this, the previous 1940 mm-hmm. series, 2 years ago when we were in...
46?
Was that 2 years ago?
Well, yeah, two Seattle cons ago, Jesus, we were hanging out with Tom Caters. You guys interviewed Jysart, and you guys both liked him a lot.
No, it was really good. It was a nice little tonal series. The first one was by Paul Azateca, really good looking. This one, however, was by Gabriel Ba and Fabio Moon.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's gorgeous. It's drawn by, it's colored by, Ron just paid attention for the first time.
He just went and picked up the book.
Literally. Colors by Dave Stewart, letters by Clem Robbins. It's an all-star book. All-star indie book, sort of. Really wonderful. The coloring in the book, as always, but like the sky through the whole thing is this yellow-orange sort of sun-going, sunset sort of era. And it's just this foreboding mood of, you know, shit's going to go down at some point. And Broom kind of knows it, but he doesn't want to accept it. As you know, if you've read the books, Broom dies right away.
He dies at the first Hellboy story,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. So it's you know, he knows shit's going to go down, and he has to wonder about if he's making the right choice or not, because... He likes Hellboy. He raises Hellboy as if he's his son.
I like Broom.
I love Broom. Broom's
I like
character.
These old stories, so you can go back and have Broom in them. Do you like Hellboy more or BPRD more?
Lately, BPRD, although the last sort of batch of Hellboys has been pretty good.
Yeah.
But
not that one has to be bad, but I think...
No,
they're different kind of books.
Very different. And the thing is, you know, Hellboy's been doing the wandering thing for a while. Just this last one, The Wild Hunt, is the first time where we're sort of getting back towards a thing. At some point, they're going to have to deal with it. They're going to have to end that story at some point.
The wandering story?
Around and know that he's the harbinger of doom and deny it forever. He's going to have... Something's going to happen. They revealed a lot during this last one, but, you know, you have to... The thing about the BPRD is that they can kind of do stories and move forward, but they're still all rocketing towards this apocalypse.
So when does that happen? Because it's been, like, 20 years?
Yeah, just about. I don't know. I think they've got to get to it at some point, but...
But then what happens after you get to it? Is it over?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's 1947. They're going back.
Is that a cash cow end?
Yeah, then the cash cow ends.
Well, how long can you milk it? But the thing is, you know,
it's still good. Obviously, yeah, you pick your pick of the
1947,
week.
So they're going backwards.
That'll give them another.
They're going backwards, 60, but they're also
62 years.
They're also
still going forward.
Moving the story forward, yeah, by going backwards.
But the nice thing is that there's
that was
all
deep.
Of these
that
stories,
was deep. That was existential.
All of these stories that are working together, but you don't really need to know all of them. You don't, you know, and it's not impinging that you've read everything that comes before it. You can put it together. And that's really nice about it.
No, that is good. That's a good thing about the whole Hellboy universe in general. I have read the first, three library editions, mm-hmm, six or seven trades, and the first two BPRDs, and really, it's all
you
done well enough.
You could very well go pick this up.
Yep.
You would be just fine. Yep. One of the other things is this is Dysart writing. Now, Mignola gets
he plots
everything.
It.
He plots. He doesn't.
He does.
He's steering the ship. He's steering the ship.
You in the interviews, you see everything goes through Mignola, even
right,
if he's not scripting it.
He's not scripting it.
No, he's overseeing it.
So
he's
when I'm going to talk about the writing for this one, what I'm going to say is that Dysart did a really nice job. Like the actual dialogue in this, there's a lot of sort of like big exorcism kind of words and sort of creepy, you know, admonitions and things like that. And it's a really just a good issue. And it's one of those things that not a ton of people are reading, but the people who did really.
It got a very high average rating on iFanboy.
Yeah.
People who read it liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But those books tend to always do that.
No, you know, the series. I felt the 1947 series has been okay. It looked really good. I didn't really care so much for the stuff that came before. It was good, but I wasn't loving it. This one really, really hit home.
You know, there was a week of a lot of really good looking books, and one of my favorite was Amazing Spider-Man 611, which was beautiful.
Yeah, well, starting.
There might have been other problems with it, but it was a beautiful book.
Well, starting off with the excellent Scotty Young cover,
great
with
cover.
The Daredevil, Spider-Man, Cable humor, and then you know Eric Canetti artwork inside is just, and I could see I was really curious what the public opinion would be of this because I think to the traditional Spider-Man fan would hate this. Would not be a big fan
no,
of
then they
Kennedy's
weren't.
Thing, but it's just awesome.
I love the energy in it. I love that it's unique and different. He's got a lot of just exciting pages and layouts and posing.
So,
it's sort of off the same path as McFarlane was. I mean,
that's what I was thinking. The average Spider-Man fan should be like, oh, this is of the same.
Right,
McFarlane
but I can see,
really exaggerated everything too, and people had loved that. But I know
I can just see this challenging what they think of it. So then we finally after that awful Mark Guggenheim arc, the last arc, we get Joe Kelly back, which is fantastic, but it comes at a price. And that price, my friends, is Deadpool.
It's as if Marvel thinks that Deadpool is the most popular character or they're trying to make him into it.
If you look at the sales figures, it's starting to look like it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's like which came first.
It's the biggest swindle since the Sex Pistols, I gotta tell you. It's like seriously, it's just like it's like all these people are just they're buying what they're given and they're just like, oh, it's wacky.
Well,
you know,
which brings
Ron at iFanboy.com.
I learned in this because you guys know I've been a big Joe Kelly fan over the past couple of years. His issues of Spider-Man have been my favorite.
They've been great.
I hate Deadpool.
This is my least favorite thing he's written.
Well, now
what's
so funny though is that because you guys so you thought it was least funny. Did you hate Deadpool? Did you like this issue?
No, I couldn't stand it. I barely finished it
because of Deadpool.
I don't like Deadpool.
I liked all the stuff before Deadpool.
Had you read the Deadpool issues that Daniel Way's been reading? This is a breath of fresh air because
in the
stupid Daniel Way stuff, there are two inner monologue voices going on at once, and in this one, at least there's just one.
Well,
so
I mean,
it
should be noted that you know Joe Kelly is the progenitor of this Deadpool.
Yeah,
and I'm fine with that. And if you
this
like
is how
this,
Deadpool should be written, that's the thing.
This is clearly a love letter to the Deadpool fans and the fans of the original Joe Kelly run, and I'm fine with that. I'm not one of them, so I didn't really enjoy it. I don't mind that.
Spider-Man was pretty funny.
Yeah, but that was all the stuff before Deadpool.
Yeah,
I liked the stuff before Deadpool showed up. The whole stuff in the beginning was great.
Did you like the Geoff Johns cameo?
Yeah,
no.
I mean, it was too
inside.
You either like the fourth wall stuff or you don't, and I didn't necessarily have a problem with it. The problem with Deadpool is it's every page.
Yeah, what we're referring to is that there's one moment where Deadpool reacts, something happens to his feet, and he complains about, you know, paying extra for little Blackest Night symbols on his feet, and there's a asterisk and a editor's box from Geoff Johns saying he approves of this message, which is, you know, but how many Spider-Man fans are also reading Green Lantern, you know?
And that's not even the point. I mean, you know, comics is pretty insular. If you know what's going on in one thing, you do another.
Yeah.
I get really tired of it.
Yeah. You know what really annoyed me? And this is you know, going to go down in history as yet another one of my isms. But the freaking recap page with all the photos with the editors and stuff like that, I could have done without that. That was just like, let's not be cutesy just to be cutesy.
That's been the only thing I don't like in general about the Amazing Spider-Man book, which is on record my favorite Marvel book.
Yeah.
is they're too cutesy insidery, even when without this stuff.
Well, it's the whackerisms.
I hate that stuff. But
I think he's taking some liberties and trying to. I mean, he's taking after the Stan Lee stuff, but
yeah, he's giving it a life.
It's just you have to be Stan to be able to pull it off. You've got to be able to have Everybody else comes off kind of annoying.
And I don't think that he's trying to be Stan.
No, what I mean is you have to have the charm of Stan Lee to pull off that stuff. Whereas everything else comes off as kind of self indulgent. I'm not a Deadpool fan, so I didn't enjoy this issue. But people who like Deadpool loved it, and that's good for them.
That's fine. Good for them.
And luckily, it was only one shot, so we go back to the next story, which I'm excited for, the Gauntlet next.
Yeah, which is going to be great. Mark Waid
looks like he's up against classic villains, and that's what I'm looking for.
Electro. So it's funny. I picked up Dark X-Men because it has an
wonderful
because it had an X on it, and I was kind of dreading it because I saw the cover and I hate Simone Bianchi. I just hate Simone Bianchi. I saw the cover and I was like, oh crap! I'm like, whatever's got an X on it. And I opened it up and I saw Paul Cornell and Leonard Kirk and I danced a little jig and
it's wonderful.
It was fantastic. It was
magical.
It was just, and he did a great job.
So what is this one about?
This is about the basically the Norman X-Men team. That exists.
So same as Dark Avengers.
So,
yeah.
In your face, Matt Fraction.
Well, this is a limited series.
Doesn't matter.
It's a book you're holding in your hand called Dark X-Men.
We already did this bit though.
Yeah, but really.
Yeah. So this is the Dark X-Men team with Mystique, with Mimic, the Dark Beast, and Omega, Weapon Omega, whatever they got, the Michael guy from Canada.
Did it recapture the magic of Captain Britain, or was it just?
No, it didn't. It wasn't as special as that, but it was really good. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the thing is, I don't really care for any of these characters. Although I love Dark Beast because that's how Beast is supposed to look. We'll get to Sword in a bit.
You mean he's got no hair on?
Well, no, he looks like Beast.
Because Beast is supposed to have no hair
before Morrison and Quitely ruined him. But
Beast should have no hair.
No, blue fur Beast.
No, I don't want any hair on Beast.
You want Silver Age Beast?
I like original Beast.
Yeah. Nice. Anyway.
I'm an old school Beast guy.
But this is just, and the big thing at the end is that now it brought back Nate Gray, X-Man from the Age of Apocalypse.
Has he been back since then?
No, they killed him off a few years ago, and now he's back. So
it was an X-Man title for a long time.
Yeah, there was.
For you Beatles Rock Band fans, did you see the little captions in the beginning? For some reason, they decided to, when they described each character in the opening, they were described by a Beatles song. So Norman Osborn says, the banality of evil, Glass Onion. Mimic, copies mutant powers, Nowhere Man. Like I was
you,
like,
you don't have to tie that to Rock Band, you know.
Everything's about Rock Band.
Jesus.
So I thought that was cute. Mystique, Eleanor Rigby, So that was, clever little Britishism.
I picked up Punisher Max number #1, which is Jason Aaron and Steve Dillon doing the Punisher Max, which is not the Marvel Universe Punisher, but the Max real world version Punisher.
That Garth Ennis did for years and
for 60 some odd issues he did them. I liked it. I mean, it was a Punisher story. The only problem I had with it was this is the real world Punisher. And he's supposed to be like old. We talk about how he's been around for 30 years, and he doesn't look any different than he did before.
Here was my issue with it. I thought
he had a few more lines in his face.
Jason Aaron wrote a great story, and it was brutal and all that kind of stuff. But don't get me wrong, I love Steve Dillon. Steve Dillon's one of my favorite artists. But by having him do this, it brings back all the. It immediately makes me think of the Ennis Dillon run.
Yeah,
and I didn't believe this to be the Max. Title.
I thought I was reading an issue of the Ennis Punisher I never read before.
Yeah, like when the eyes popped out.
Yep.
Yeah, it felt more like that than it felt like the Ennis Max, which was gritty and ultra real, and the art on that was all dark and scratchy.
This is more like Welcome Back, Frank.
Steve Dillon does not connote
realism.
The real world.
And there's a level of humor. Like when the guy. So basically, what happens is that a guy gets his eyes popped out by the nuke by Wilson Fisk, who's the Kingpin, and at one point he pops him back in, and he's all cross-eyed. Like there's an innate humor with Steve Dillon, which this book.
He makes violence funny.
Yeah, exactly. Which I don't know if that's the tone they want.
Better than anyone.
The story in this is that the mafia's they realize if they don't do something about Punisher, they're going to die. So they are going to concoct a fake boss of bosses, so that they take one of the mobsters. Bodyguards, who is Wilson Fisk, and they're going to prop him up as the Kingpin, as the boss of bosses, and what the whole twist is, the Kingpin's plan is to actually become the boss of bosses once he's propped up there. It was enjoyable. I'll read the next one. I liked it. Yeah. It just was weird that, they make a very specific point of saying the Punisher's been around for 30 years, which means he's at least 50-something. He's got to be, if not 60.
Well, I thought his face did look older.
He's a little more lined, but he didn't really look all that different.
But I didn't even notice that. Yeah. It didn't feel like it was Punisher Max. It was a different one. I don't really... Yeah. care
but how about that Dave Johnson cover?
It was a great cover, and I enjoyed the issue. So, I mean, in that sense,
point of fact, Dave Johnson has never done a bad cover.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And the next week's looks even more amazing. So, Connor, did you jump up and yelp in joy on Wednesday night after you read Green Lantern Corps number 42?
Gentlemen, it's been a long, dark time.
It's like 15 years now?
And finally, we have come out of the woods into the light. How many more metaphors can I mix?
Just keep mixing them, baby. Keep mixing them.
It's been a struggle.
Is it a good day in the DCU?
It's a good day in America.
Yeah.
No, I.
Connor's morning in America.
In Green Lantern Corps, well, the big thing was that the Black Lanterns are attacking the power battery. They're going to want to destroy it, which would then render all the Green Lanterns powerless. And Kyle Rayner gives his life to stop them and
sacrifices himself. The mask, the Green Lantern, the mask that everyone's hated since 1994.
That mask does suck.
Has now been obliterated, and it ends with him dead.
You know, we've had...
Here it is, ring status report, Green Lantern 2814, deceased. There he is.
It's been a long, hard time. Almost 20 years
Well, listen, here's the thing. Now, I
wanna, 20 years, it's been 15.
That's almost 20 in my book.
I like Kyle Rayner. I always have. I think he's fun, but I would absolutely agree that at this point in time, he's entirely redundant.
Yeah.
There's no place for him because you've got Guy Gardner and Jon Stewart and Hal Jordan, and they're all different enough that Kyle has no place. And I know that they've you know, he's been entertaining in this Green Lantern Corps book, but at the end of the day, he isn't needed.
Yep.
I want to backtrack and say I'm kidding with all the speeching.
No, you're not.
I am. If this had been 10 years ago, I probably would have been excited about it.
Will you admit that you were once a member of Heat?
No, I will deny that I started Heat.
What does that stand for again?
Hal's Emerald Action Team.
How does he know it so quickly?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
10 years ago, I would have been happy, but really happy. But 15 years ago, I would have been thrilled. But you know, over the years,
5 years ago,
Hal's back. He's been back a while. They reestablished him as the primary Green Lantern. I've got no problem with Kyle. He's been good in this book. I would say I don't have affection for him, but I tolerate him and. I wasn't thrilled about it. I wasn't jumping for joy about it. And I feel like Josh does. At this point, he's basically redundant. I guess the stories exist. They just haven't found a way to make him interesting enough to really do anything about it.
Well, I thought the issue itself was really good. I thought, so the Black Lanterns are attacking. They realize they're attacking the central power battery. Kyle immediately steps in, takes control, and unleashes one of the Red Lanterns that they captured, which I thought was genius.
Yep.
And then he dies, the Alpha Lantern kills him in the next page, which I was, that made me laugh. And then I honestly didn't see Kyle's sacrifice coming. I didn't see it coming.
But it makes
sense.
I mean, if you think about that, the arc of the character, like at the point now where he's a battle general, basically.
Yep. He was Ion. Yeah, it all makes sense. But when he says goodbye through his ring and he says, he tells Guy, you're like a brother, thank you. And he says goodbye to Sorenik and he says, I love you. I don't really believe that. I feel like that relationship was new.
Man,
that's a little. I know, but still.
The other point is, I don't necessarily believe he's dead or going to stay dead because
he's going to become the Spectre.
He could be the Spectre.
He's already been parallax.
He's going to follow the Hal Jordan arc.
Black Lantern.
Well, look, we're in the smack dab in the very middle of this Blackest Night story.
Yeah.
All we've seen so far is major characters die. You know, most if not all of them are coming back.
Yep.
So I don't necessarily believe this is permanent. It might be. It could be because, as Josh said, he's really superfluous at this point. But I don't necessarily believe he's dead for good.
But does anybody stay dead? Yeah, come on, really.
I'd be nice if he was. I think he should be.
Yeah.
For a while. And that'll be it.
I wonder how Ron Mars feels.
Come back.
Then there'll be Keat.
Yeah. So I would love to go back and read my original Green Lantern stories where Kyle Rayner started out with the
Emerald
Black.
Dawn.
Exactly, but they're all in my long boxes.
Emerald Twilight?
I forget.
Emerald Dawn was Hal's origin story.
A New Dawn.
Anyway, they're all in my long boxes.
And how would Ron get to his comics?
I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
Hey, this episode of iFanboy has been brought to you in part by Drawer Boxes from CollectionDrawer.com. Drawer Boxes are the strongest storage container made for comics. They can be stacked up to 6 high to maximize the square footage. And because they work like a drawer, every comic in your collection remains accessible by simply pulling a drawer open. Long and short drawer boxes can be combined and linked together with box locks, box anchors, in any configuration to fit any space and remain secure with absolutely no tipping or slippage. And now the contents can be organized and sorted to meet the needs of any collector with every issue immediately accessible. Like Ron was saying about his old Green Lantern Ron Mars written issues.
I'd love to pull them out if I could.
He practically hit you over the head with that one.
I they're in box number 8, I think, four deep. Yeah, it's not easy to get
to. How many boxes?
I have over 40.
So how many in 8? They must not be alphabetical.
Here's my great confession is that the first 20 boxes are completely alphabetical, and I haven't done a reorganization since 02, so I've got 20 boxes that are in chronological. I gotta take a week off of work.
You
know what the sad reality is? I live in a studio apartment in San Francisco. I don't have the room to do that. Like, I need to basically go get like rent a hotel room.
That would be an awesome weekend. We should make that an episode.
I don't think I could do it in a weekend. That's the thing.
Rented a San Francisco
But if we got all of us together, got some cameras,
that'd be fun.
We could do that a weekend.
Well, yeah. If you wanted to do that, you could go and get some drawer boxes. Drawer boxes. Box sort, upright dividers, and box locks. Box anchors are exclusive trademarks of thecollectiondrawer.com and available at collectiondrawer.com. When you order, make sure you mention iFanboy when you do. They're really pretty cool.
They're very cool.
And they solve a lot of the problems that you have from having these boxes all over the place. And I think Ron, you could use a set.
I could use a set. I could use a set of 40.
Now, I note that the next book here on my list is X-Force number 21.
So X-Force number 21.
So, Connor, what did you... Oh, wait.
X-Force number 21 is the next chapter in the Necrosha X storyline, which in New Mutants last week, you might remember, I was totally excited for. And then X-Force number 21...
Sucked the life out of me
because I can't stand Clayton Crane. I just can't take it. The art is just miserably not what I like. But what was neat, similar to the Black Lantern story, is that whatever's going on in Necrosha is resurrecting all the dead mutants. So the whole 198 mutants thing now, they're back up to over a million.
Well, they made that joke at...
Are they zombified?
No, they're just normal. Oh. They're just back. Like, Banshee's back.
They just brought them all back?
Yeah, they're just all back. Just like that. No explanation, they're just back.
They mentioned that in their panel in San Diego. They said they welcomed you to the Blackest Night panel.
Yeah,
they did.
I mean, in this issue, we had a whole bunch of classic villains.
The X-Men panel?
I read news.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A whole bunch of classic X-Villains came back to life, like Feral and Stonewall and Tower and Rusty Collins and Pyro. And Banshee was a big one, but now he's evil, apparently. Selene is doing something where she's raising the dead and making them fight the X-Men. But this Clayton Crane, the drawing of Archangel, it just they still haven't explained it. Why
he's
blue.
The way you pronounce it, so it's fine.
Yeah, so it just annoys me.
Next up, JSA Cobra wrapped up, number 6. Eric Trautman, he doesn't like to say that he's redoing the Checkmate, but he's living in he's walking in those shoes.
Are you hosting this show?
I'm seeing
this show. It's pretty awesome.
You don't want me to?
No, I just think it's fantastic, right in the middle. JSA vs. Cobra is a 6, as Josh said, end of the series. And if you've not been happy with the current incarnation of JSA, this is what you should have been reading, and you should probably check out the trade when it comes out. This is much more in line with the old school JSA. There's no stupid contrived bickering going on between the team. and it's also very Checkmate influenced. So if you like Checkmate, as Josh said, Trautman was one of the co-writers of Checkmate for a while. It's very much infused in that. And the big news in this one is that Tasha Bardot finally woke up from her coma or whatever it was she was in.
Oh, really?
So she's back, awake. She gave Mr. Terrific a nice kiss on the mouth.
Nice.
Maybe with tongue. That was not explained. I'm just inferring tongue.
There's no editor note.
This kiss includes tongue.
Sword.
So sword number one came out, and I was very confused because I was looking for the sword by the Lunar Brothers.
Yeah.
But anyway.
This one's got dots between the letters.
Yeah, but they're not on the cover. There are no dots in between the letters.
There's no article.
Yeah.
It's just sword. As opposed to the sword.
Anyway, issue number one from Marvel. Kieran Gillen writing it, and some guy with the last name Sanders doing the art. Steven Sanders. Wait a minute. and he drives a Corvette. Kieran Nail. Basically, this is Agent Brand and Sword. The whole Shield is on Earth. Sword is in
the Astonishing X-Men.
Kieran nailed writing her that character in this whole world. It was a lot of fun to read.
Kieran's making a big splash in Marvel. Yeah. In this.
Guy Rich is the foil, which is I love Henry Peter Guy Rich. He's fantastic. I didn't really like Steven Sanders' art. And as alluded earlier in the thing, the way he draws the beast is just, it's continuing the aberration of the destruction of...
Oh, he looks like a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
When are they going to move him back?
Please soon.
He's the one they haven't really fixed. But then there's big news in the back of this book,
but
isn't there?
The fantasticness was the backup story with art by Jamie McKelvey, which I know, I understand that Kieran and Jamie are known for working together on Phonogram. They probably want to break free or whatever. But just let McKelvey draw this book.
if he drew it, I would buy it.
It just looked beautiful.
Do you want to see the end of Phonogram?
It looked fantastic. Well, yeah.
He also wants McKelvey to eat.
Yeah, exactly. I do.
That's one of dive starvation.
By the amount of money I've given him, I do. Basically, they're finally dealing with the space bullet. And it's Lockheed getting mad at Brand for them not doing anything about going to get Kitty out of the space bullet. So it looks like maybe they're going to address the space bullet.
And also, what's notable about this is that it looks like they figured out how to color
it. It's Matt Wilson. The guy's coloring him on phonogram.
The last thing he did for Marvel was Colored This Way too, I think.
Yeah, no, Matt Wilson knows how to color.
They figured out that they need to bring that guy over to color.
Yeah, he's fantastic, and it just looks beautiful.
It does. Marvel's, it looks great. It's flat.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. But
no, you need to be. You need to do him flat. Batman, Doc Savage special. Josh, you bought this, right?
Batman
doesn't use a gun.
I wanted to.
I'm going to come over there and hit you.
First, let's just get that out of the way. This is not current
this
Batman.
This is what used to be known as Elseworlds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It takes place in a different world. Also,
different time. Early, this is Batman has only been around a few months at the beginning of the story.
It doesn't matter. Even if he uses the gun for his entire career, it's a different world. The rules don't apply.
Okay.
Second of all, the current Batman, the quote-unquote real Batman, has quite often used guns. It just doesn't always work into people's theories of what Batman is. But I can show you all those trades on that shelf over there of him shooting people with guns on his plane.
Well, there you go. The thing about this was it was written by Brian Azzarello and drawn by Phil Noto.
See.
Gorgeous
wonderful
illustration.
Phil Noto.
Really gorgeous illustration, although...
A little stiff.
The more I looked at it, the more I was sort of unimpressed by the storytelling and the layouts.
I told you, it's a little stiff.
Very stiff, but it's sort of a nice illustration style. I guess we'll go that way. I was really enjoying it until I got to the end and I realized that there was no story.
Yeah. This is a prelude to a miniseries that's going to come out in 2010.
No, not a miniseries, a whole universe, a whole bunch of books.
But a bunch of miniseries.
Yeah, yeah.
And come out in 2010.
Not just one miniseries, multiple.
Well, there's going to be one to start with.
Jeff Lemire's writing one. And
it's going to be Brian Azzarello's pulp world, where he's dealing with all these pulp characters plus all these established characters in pulp.
Is he going to have Batman in there?
No, it's all the it's all this like almost non-powered. So it's Batman, it's Doc Savage, it's all the also the is it Warren? Who are the characters that Doc Savage on them were?
Yeah, I think so.
Or Archie characters or whatever. Batman, Doc Savage, Justice Inc., the Spirit, Black Canary, you know, the Blackhawks,
Rima the Jungle Girl. Yeah. I was actually more excited reading this backup material for the mini. I'm really excited for the mini. The story next year. This issue didn't really have much of a story.
I like the conversations they were having, things about it, but like.
All of a sudden, it was over.
Story arc standpoint, it just didn't.
It was like Act One in a one shot, and there was no other acts. But the backup material is great, and the first mini is going to be drawn by Rags Morales, and I loved the art in that backup. It was great.
Yeah.
So, who likes baseball?
I like baseball. So does Doctor Strange. Apparently,
he's just strange now.
Yeah, strange.
I don't see why he wouldn't be a doctor anymore, though. That doesn't make sense.
No, he's still a doctor.
No,
he
wouldn't call himself Doctor Strange. Oh, in the whole thing. There was a point about it.
You're right, man. This is Strange number one from Mark Waid and Emma Rios. We talked to Mark Waid on the Don't Miss podcast earlier in the week, so we kind of gave a little preview for it. I don't know, like, and I talked to Mark about this, and I was impressed by the way the approach that he took to it. It wasn't what I expected.
It was pretty good. It was kind of a one shot.
I don't know how I feel about the art.
Four issue miniseries. I like the art. I warmed up to the art.
I think the art's good, but not necessarily for this subject.
Yeah, second issue is a little better.
I just think it's not. I just think it doesn't match the subject matter, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I think it matches the story, though.
Yeah, that could be.
So, I really like the colors. Christina Strand did a great job on the colors. A
couple of DC quick hits here. One is Batman and Robin number 6, which was originally on the script, I believe, but got knocked off somehow. I think I can show you the emails.
We can talk about it afterwards. We'll show you offline.
I'm going to pull up the emails.
Oh, God. After actions.
But we're going to have a postmortem. This was a great story with some of the worst art I've seen this year.
I didn't even bother. I told you I'm not bothering.
It was markedly worse than the last two issues. I'm going to hand Ron this.
No, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to burn my eyes to cover.
Jason Todd getting the shit shot out of him. Or not Jason Todd, Damian.
Yeah.
He shot Damian over and over again.
Really? Is he dead yet?
No, in fact, it didn't hurt him. He's like, I can't feel anything.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, are you okay? I told you I can't feel anything.
Emotionally or physically?
No, they
I know.
I really liked the story a lot. I thought it was a great ending to the arc. A lot of great character stuff in here. It's just, there was just some bizarre pages and layouts and panels, and there was some things I couldn't even tell you what was happening amongst the art. It was a disaster. But on the other side of that, Batgirl number 4 is becoming very similar to Power Girl in that it's a female lead character in a very fun book that does not really tie into anything else. It's a very slight tie into what else is going on in the rest of the Batman world, but not really. You can read this and not know anything, and it's a fun take on Batgirl. She's got a new costume that's sort of more functional and it recalls the old Batgirl, and Barbara is her mentor. She's a Batgirl for the Dick Grayson age. She's not tortured like Cassandra Cain was.
I love the Cassandra Cain costume, though.
I love that costume.
It fits for her, but like
she was a silent killer, and she fit with Bruce's world. But this is more of a lighthearted Batgirl, very similar to Barbara
Batgirl
Gordon
for Dick.
She's a Batgirl for Dick, and she's
I'm not touching that one.
She's much more like Barbara Gordon than Cassandra was. So I'm really enjoying this.
She's sort of the purple, huh?
Cool.
I guess that's the spoiler.
The spoiler.
Spoiler, and the original Batgirl's costume in the '60s series was purple.
Cool.
And finally, action. Real quick, Action Comics 883.
This is the Connor show.
Well, this is my block. Action Comics 883 was the start of a new arc, and I love these characters, and I hope Superman doesn't come back to this book.
That's fine.
I would be happy. He can have his other three books. I'm happy with these two characters, Nightwing and Flamebird, staying as the lead for the action books because they're really interesting characters.
Fair enough.
All right. So those are the books that we liked this week. So if you head over to ifanboy.com/comics, you can check out all the books that came out this week, and you can do your pull list, and you can rate. After you read your books, you can rate them and write a review. And we want to highlight some of the reviews from you, the iFan base. First review is from Amir Cat, reviewed Super God number 1, and gave the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 4 out of 5. And at the time of this recording, 0.17% of you made it your pick of the week, which might just be Amir Cat. And Amir Cat says, "This was seriously the creepiest book I've read in a while. Not that that's a bad thing at all, because it was also amazing. The issue is a mixture of mankind's fascination with gods and higher beings. It includes hero worship, deities, even prayer in the form of sexual mutilation. Don't ask, just read. In the year of the bad superhero with Irreversible, I think it means Irredeemable, and the Mighty being so awesome, Super God would have to be the most original take on the superheroes gone wrong or right, depending on your perspective. I, for one, am very excited about this arc."
This is the new Warren Ellis book.
Oh, so is it an Avatar?
Yes, it is.
It's the new Warren Ellis depraved superhero book.
Oh, okay.
So apparently he's never read one before.
No.
Because that's what Warren Ellis does.
Yeah.
No, I you know, I'm over Warren Ellis' take on superheroes entirely, I'm sure it's fine.
Oh, he does a really good Iron Man, I have to admit.
No, I know, but then that's fine, but if he's like, sort of doing his thing, but he always gets bored with them or wants to destroy them.
Yeah.
Are you still reading his other Avatar stuff, Ignition City?
It's supposed to be really good, Ignition City.
I read a couple of them, really good. I never followed up.
It's supposed to be really good. I'm going to read it in
trade. I'm going to look out for that trade when it comes out.
Yeah, me too.
The next review is from Zach Truitt, and he reviews Lock and Key, Crown of Shadows, number 1. He gave the story a 4 out of 5, and the art a 5 out of 5, and 17%.
Wow.
The fan base made this big
Lock and Key.
I think I was second or third in the list.
No love for Lock and Key? There's some love.
Another great issue Zach Truitt says, another great issue start off Volume 3. This issue basically serves as a nice setup for the rest of the issues, and it easily catches up those who have just jumped on, while also ratcheting up the tension between the malevolent spirit and the family of protagonists. I don't want to spoil too much, but there's some key drama at the end of this issue. The artwork is spectacular. Ron knocked something over. Sorry. What did you knock over? Spectacular as usual. Mr. Rodriguez is currently one of the handful of truly original comic artists today. His style must be seen to be appreciated. This issue does what every good first issue should do. I'm waiting for the next issue with bated breath. And I just finished reading the second trade, which was fantastic.
Do you have the first volume? Can I borrow that?
I have 1 and 2 on that shelf.
Can I borrow one of them? Because I've never read any of it, but I just heard nothing but good things.
Volume 2 was the runner-up for Book of the Month. It was very close, but it got edged out. Which
you going behind the scenes.
A book we'll talk about soon. But I really like this Lock and Key series. I think it's great characters. The art's fantastic.
He's not wrong about the art.
The art's wonderful. Really original storytelling. I don't read anything else like Lock and Key. It's horror without all the horror tropes. Right. It's very good. The only issue I would have was I don't think Volume 2 did a good job of catching you up. Maybe he learned from that in Volume 3.
Yeah. So go to ifanboy.com/comics, rate and review your books as they come out every week. The iFanbase is growing. Before we move on, I want to tell you quickly about our other sponsor and thank them, InStock Trades. Thank them for sponsoring the show. They are the premier website where you can buy your trade paperbacks, your collected editions, whatever you might need. They've got them up to 37% off. They got free shipping on orders over $50, which is key if you're buying absolutes and omnibuses because they get heavy.
If you're Connor.
Yeah, if you're Connor, basically.
What?
Yeah, yeah. They've got over 9,000 trade paperbacks and collected editions in stock and available for order. They got new releases every Wednesday. Make an order, usually ships within 48 hours. So go to www.instocktrades.com and do all your ordering there. And in fact, you might want to order this month's Book of the Month for my fanboy, G.I. Joe Cobra.
G.I. Joe Cobra, which is on special at InStock Trades just for us. So if you go there, check it out, you'll find it's 40% off.
That's amazing.
That's certainly good.
That's a lovely segue.
Thank you. G.I. Joe Cobra is the iFanboy Book of the Month for November. This should come as no surprise to anyone because Josh and I, who read the series, loved it.
You guys have a hard-on for this book.
I'm not afraid to admit or show it.
And Josh was whispering sweet nothings into this book's ear.
I know, and Connor took it away from me. Yeah. I was like, you may want to let me clean that off. That's awful. I'd like to apologize.
He's been hanging out with me all day, and that's what happens.
Written by Mike Costa and Christos Gage, with art by Antonio Fuso. Covers by Howard Chaykin. Published by IDW.
Not only covers by Howard Chaykin, but it's the good Chaykin.
Good Chaykin. This was a series that came out of nowhere. Josh and I gave 3 of the 6 issues of Pick of the Week honors. I believe you gave 2 of them. I gave 1.
Yeah. Was the mini 4 or 5?
It was 4 according to what I looked it up.
The mini was 4 and there's one special. There's 5 issues, not 6.
Well, 5 or 6, either way, it's a good percentage.
3 of them. Yeah, it's good.
So 3 out of 5 were Pick of the Weeks. Mm-hmm. This was the series that Josh likes to say had no business being as good as it was.
None. It was about chuckles. It had a G.I. Joe. I mean, you got to also remember when Connor, when you picked the first one as a Pick of the Week, I was like, I remember thinking just, you're actually buying a new G.I. Joe relaunch? What is wrong with you? How many bad G.I. Joe relaunches have there been?
I remember that.
You're a 32-year-old man. Just stop.
At some point, you've got to move on.
This is pretty good.
Yeah, see?
And, like, I came around entirely, and I read it, and I was like,
it's like 24.
Oh. I don't really take... Now, Connor, your thing is that this is 24 meets G.I. Joe. I don't really...
I thought the first issue was.
Yeah, and after that, it's...
Yeah, well, that was how I described the first issue in the Pick of the Week, because that's what it was similar to that. What's funny was because I remember my original Pick of the Week review, I wrote that this was the guy that threw the missile at a tank in the cartoon movie, which was that horrible, horrible movie, but...
You shut your mouth.
That movie's terrible.
You shut your mouth.
No. They ruined it. They never should have gotten Mystic.
Shut your
mouth. They never should have gotten Mystic.
The BET. That's the...
The broadcast
energy transmitter.
Making Cobra Commander some ex-mystical character instead of...
But that movie has our favorite moment.
It's your favorite moment.
No, Connor's too.
What?
When they get captured by the Cobra Law and they get put in the cage and they get their weapons taken away from them. What? Lady J and Roblox saying, what are we going to do? Forgetting the fact that they've got weapons drawn on their costumes.
This is the fourth time you've told
this. I don't care. I will tell it
bandolier,
every time.
Bandolier full of grenades.
Yeah, Snake Eyes has got knives all over them. We've got no weapons.
But God. making.
Oh, Nemesis Enforcer.
Nemesis Enforcer, I forgot about
making Cobra a mystical cult of super beings was the worst thing they ever did to G.I. Joe. But anyway.
Take that.
Love that movie. Love it.
180 degrees and come up with the best adult comic that you can about this.
Espionage. It's a spy story, and you don't have to. You strip off the G.I. Joe brand, then it's one of the best spy stories I've read.
You know what it reminds me of, really, in comics term, if you read Sleeper and you really like that, it's very related to that, but without superpowers.
Yes, yeah. Similar.
In Sleeper, Holden Carver's, he's deep behind enemy lines, he's got no contact, he's no one to talk to, he's cut off. And the same thing happens to Chuckles in this, basically, and he's forced to make really awful decisions, and he makes them.
One seriously awful decision. And it's the point is, what will you do to complete the mission? How far will you go, and what does that do to you as a person, as a soldier? And
how far will you go, Josh?
Probably like second base. I'd probably like let him touch.
Josh has no problem sleeping with Baroness, doing all that stuff. It's the other stuff.
Sleeping with Destro, that's the problem.
Lay here on the bed. No. Polish my helmet.
Are you going to at least take the helmet off? No.
It hurts. It's got sharp edges.
Ow.
Wow. That went to a
blue. You're going to take a dark turn.
I didn't expect this discussion to go this way.
I didn't know Clandestro meant that.
We're sorry, IDW.
It is as dark and as realistic and gritty as you can possibly imagine. And Antonio Fuso had great art, which really helps
and,
the
and
feeling
then
of the book.
On top of all of that, also included in the trade is G.I. Joe Cobra Special.
Yep.
That was the title of it.
Yeah, G.I. Joe Cobra Special.
Which was some of the best sort of visual graphic stories.
Best construction of structure.
Construction. I can't say. I either want to say structure or construction, but I keep saying it at the same time.
Constructure.
Destructicons.
Where they're,
oh,
they're talking
they're cool.
To Tomax and Zaymot, who are also too lame as crap.
I love Tomax. I love them. They were some of my favorites.
They're still lame as crap.
Doesn't matter. The action figures came with the mirror. Oh,
yeah.
I
loved how creepily they finish each other's sentences.
Oh, yeah, totally creepy. Yeah. And the ascots and the blazers.
Ascots. They have a villain with ascots.
Yeah. The toys didn't have that, though.
No, the characters in the cartoons.
Well, either way, this issue, we talked about this already on the show.
The mirrored issue?
Yes. Where the one side completely mirrored.
It starts off following on one brother and it goes to the second brother. Yeah. And if you look, and in the trade, they print the issue, but then they also have a segment in the back where they print every page mirrored so you can see
that's so cool.
For yourself how the stories mirror each other.
It's actually a better job at mirroring than that one issue, Fearful Symmetry, from Watchmen.
Yes,
it's a better job in that sense that actually it's clearer, I guess.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And we talked about that issue when it was Pick of the Week. You don't notice it at first, but when you look at it side by side in this trade, you can really see, wow, the panels mirror each other. It was one of the best minis of the year, one of the best series of the year.
Great trade. It was a no-brainer when it arrived on my desk. Moments before I had to write the book of the month review. One of the easiest calls I've had to make on these books. Just fantastic. And they're making a sequel, which excited, but also a little worried for. You know, you always worry about the sequel to the great mini.
And so, as you mentioned, it's on special at InStockTrades.com. You can also get it on Amazon. It's from IDW.
IDW.
Yeah, so
check it out. If you've never read a G.I. Joe book, this will totally defy all your expectations.
And go to iFanboy.com where you can read Connor's full book of the month review.
Yes.
Next up is the emails. Our first email comes from Sean R., who writes, says, "Hey guys, I'm hoping you can help me out. The majority of comics I'm reading are superheroes, with the exception of Jungle Girl and Red Sonja. Cheesecake, I know. But all the other types of comics never seem to catch my interest, or I didn't know what I was looking for. Now I have a pretty good idea of what I'm looking for, so do any of you know some comics that are similar to the Bourne movies, with Matt Damon, in tone of story, which is basically an all-action spy thriller? He has some rules, though. Rule number one, little to no politics. It can be interesting if done right, otherwise that shit's boring. Number two, no black and white series, color comics only. That eliminates Queen and Country."
Queen and Country would have been my first, but obviously he doesn't want to read. I disagree. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I know, because you like politics and you like, and
I know,
you don't mind black
things.
And white.
And just to say that it can't be.
I have more of a problem with no black and white issue.
Well, yeah, that eliminates the whole thing. I would, but based off that, it sounds like he should pick up The Leading Man from B. Clay Moore and Jeremy Hahn from Oni.
I just think he should pick up G.I. Joe Cobra.
Or
I, like, just, like, I did not have an answer for this when I put it down because I was like, I don't know how to answer this. Maybe they will.
Right.
But I was like, oh, wait, we've
just
been talking about it.
The Leading Man, is a good miniseries. Jeremy Hahn did the art. It's in color. It's about a spy. I don't know. I remember if there's I don't think there's politics involved.
Not really.
A lot of action. G.I. Joe Cobra is a good example.
G.I. Joe Origins.
G.I. Joe Origins. I want to say Super Spy, but I don't think he'll like Super Spies.
No. It's more of an action thing. You know, if the Circle was still around...
was good.
There's no trade of that, is there?
There is none,
no trade
because
it did not sell very well. But Brian Reed, who writes for Marvel, had done a 5-issue series with Image called The Circle last year, which is exactly what you're asking for. It was very good.
You can probably find the issues.
If you can find the issues at a convention or a store, check out. I think it was 5 issues or 6.
It was 5.
What about Checkmate?
It's got.
He likes superheroes. It's in
there
color.
There is politics, though. There's all that.
It's a lot of political stuff. It's as much political as it is action.
Yeah.
So there you go. Sleeper?
We're all looking at my shelf.
Sleeper's probably a good option, too. A lot of spy stuff, color. Yeah.
I would say The Leading Man's a good choice. G.I. Joe Cobra's a good choice.
Yeah.
Sleeper's is a good choice. It's less spy. It's less all-out action.
It's more espionage and that sort of thing.
And The Circle. If you can find The Circle, The Circle's actually probably the best choice if you can find it.
It's tough to have a spy book without the politics.
It's kind of the point of spies. Otherwise, they're just people hiding.
Or in color.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And honestly, dude, you're limiting yourself by saying no Queen of Country. I mean, that's what you want. You know?
It really is.
You can color it.
Yeah, you can color it yourself. Actually, I dare you to buy the first miniseries and color it yourself.
Dave Stewart is freelance.
Yeah, he'll exactly. John Byrne drew that whole FX series from that kid. Maybe Dave Stewart will color Queen of Country for you.
There you go.
That'd be amazing. What would happen? Is that legal? I don't think that's legal if you sold it.
Yeah, you can do it for yourself.
You do it for yourself,
No resale. All right, Jason writes and says, "Just read an interview with Jeff Johns where someone asked if he could make up a superhero team regardless of publisher, who would it be? My question to you guys is, who would be your 5-man team and why?" I assume this is all cross,
all
spectrums.
All characters you can think of to put on a
5-man team.
All right. Josh, you go first because you're worst at this.
Captain America.
Okay.
Captain America leads a team.
All right, Captain America.
I think Invincible would be good on a team like that because he's young, but he's also got a ton of power.
Scrappy.
Yeah. You need a girl. Someone like a Black Widow.
Okay.
Maybe somebody more. Who's a woman who's more
Black
powerful
Canary?
Than Black Widow? No, I don't like her.
Why don't you like Black Canary?
I don't know. It's just not my thing.
He's racist.
You need
racist.
like a big dumb bruiser. So like Ben
Big
Grimm.
Barda?
Okay, Big Barda. I'm not putting her.
Why?
Like,
she's
like
awesome.
Thing.
Okay.
You know what? You do your own list, buddy.
I know, it's fine. I'm criticizing yours. All right, so you got 4.
And then you need like a comic relief. No, you need to...
I love his approach. It's hysterical because my approach is completely different, but go on.
I'm going to go with like a Martian Manhunter. Because
comic
need...
relief? He's a straight man.
No, I changed my mind. I think you can use the other hero comic relief, but I think you need like...
You need a straight man.
Yeah, you need a strategist kind of guy.
Yeah.
Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, so I'm going with Martian Manhunter.
All right, so you got Martian Manhunter, Captain America, Invincible, The Thing, and Big Barda.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that.
All right, so who's your fifth then? Who's your woman then?
Threw me off.
Who's your woman then?
I said Black Widow.
Black Widow. Okay, so there you go. There's Josh's team. Connor,
Wolverine, Lobo, Darkclaw, nice. Lady Deathstrike.
You're going with the claws.
Deadpool. Yeah. That's the book I would never buy. That's an interesting question. I think It depends on the kind of team you want. Do you want, like, a team of misfits, or do you want...
Are you trying to tell good stories, or are you trying to make them kick ass?
It's a superhero team.
Well, right, but, like, in terms of, like, the Defenders are not a good team, but it makes a good book.
Yeah.
We're going for a good book.
Yeah. Or,
the
like...
Defenders are a great team, so...
You know what I'm saying.
They don't get along. That's
right,
the point.
Yeah, but like, it's a good book. Yeah.
It's not a company you want to work for.
I know.
Like, you know, the Giffen Justice League was not a good team,
no,
but they
were
interesting.
For a team that kicks ass, and it would be a good book, and, you know...
Who's the guy that leads the Walking Dead crew?
Rick. Rick on that team. That's good.
Yeah, Rick, that's my team.
Okay.
He'd go. He'd be like, there are six.
Wolverine, Lobo, Darkclaw, Lady Deathstrike, and Rick from right, Walking
that's
Dead.
Yours?
That's my team.
All right. So, so my team probably Cyclops, Jean Grey, Colossus, Wolverine, Kitty Pryde. No, it's funny because you're saying you're going for a leader, you're going for comic relief, you're going for a woman. My approach is you need a flyer, you need someone with magic, you need somebody with leadership.
I was writing a book. Yeah. You were being in a book.
Exactly. So Cyclops, Wolverine, Colossus, Kitty, Nightcrawler.
The X-Men.
Or Jean Grey.
That's your team.
Yeah,
that's
the X-Men.
Yeah, the X-Men.
That's
yeah.
it. That's as perfect as it's going to get.
Exactly.
Shut up.
No, in reality, if you force my hand and you make me mix up companies, I'd probably go Flash, mm-hmm. Wally.
Flash.
Oh, man.
We're getting really punchy.
So I go The Flash with Wally. I would go Cyclops for leader. I would go Adam Eve from Invincible because chick and power.
I like her, yeah.
I'd probably go...
He's stroking his beard devilishly. Yeah.
I probably would go Mr. Fantastic because his last name is Richards.
What about Madman?
Madman. That's a good one.
What about Savage Dragon?
No, Savage Dragon's not a team player. He's a solo guy.
That's the guy who's on the team, doesn't want to be on the team, but he's on the team.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man. So, yeah, great question. Email us at contact@ifanboy.com if you have any questions. We skipped the voicemail this week.
We know we said we wouldn't, but we forgot about the book of the month.
Next week, voicemails will be back, but we got a bunch of voicemails in this week. Keep them coming in. Call 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. Keep them 30 seconds. Let us know who you are, where you're from.
Take a breath, dude.
And ask good questions.
Flash. I talk like Flash.
All right, we got some other shows that we want to tell you about. We did a bunch of more Talksplodes in the last couple of weeks. We did one with Mark Wade talking about Strange Number One, and we have one coming up this week with Kevin Baker, the writer of Luna Park, the graphic novel that came out from Vertigo.
So that's coming out on Don't Miss on iFam.
Yeah, those are both
Monday.
Don't Miss Talksplode, Don't Miss podcasts, which you have to find on their own feed. They're not on this feed, so you have to go subscribe on iTunes separately.
Yep, so go to ifanboy.com for the link to iTunes or search for just ifanboy in iTunes and you'll find it there.
I also want to tell people about the Last Murmur podcast, which was all about TV, which I really enjoyed and thought was really a good show.
A lot of fun.
If I can say so myself. It was me and Ron and Josh and Paul Montgomery talking about the year so far in television, and it was very controversial as evidenced by the comments on Murmur, but it was a fun show and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, so check that out. And if you enjoy this podcast, as well as the other Talksplodes and Don't Miss and the video show, which is coming back, we're going to talk about it in a moment, and ifanboy.com as a whole, you can help us out by becoming a member. You get stuff for becoming a member for $4 a month or $42 a year. Gets you the prize pack of some buttons and some stickers and a free comic from our collection, pulled from our long boxes, as previously spoken about. Or for $10 a month, $100 a year, you get that prize pack plus an iFanboy members t-shirt. For all you members out there who are waiting for your t-shirts, they are in and they are being shipped out this week, so you should be getting them soon. We thank everyone for becoming a member. Becoming a member makes you eligible for all the great iFanboy giveaways. We got some cool ones coming up around the holidays. We'll start getting generous with the members, so make sure you are a member to be eligible, and we thank everybody for becoming one. Also, if you want to help out iFanboy, the holidays are coming. My sister's already started doing her Christmas shopping. She uses Amazon. You can use Amazon, too, by going to ifanboy.com/Amazon. Do all your Christmas shopping there. Helps us out in the process. That's what I'm using for my Christmas shopping.
When you go there, click on the link that says Powered by Amazon. It'll take you to Amazon itself. People have asked that question before. That's how you get to Amazon.
Exactly.
You can go to ifanboy.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't close for the holidays.
We don't.
But make sure you go there. You can comment on this show. You can look at, there's all this great written original content. We put up stuff every week. The best covers of the week. All sorts of stuff to discuss. Things like that. You can go to ifanboy.com/about to see all about us and see the different places that you can hook up with us on the internet.
Yep.
And things like that. Hey, you know what else you could find there? We've been putting up reprints, is what we call them. Some of our older video shows that you really only got to see the once when they came around unless you went digging around. And that's fun and all. But I guess if you really want, we'll put a new video show up on December 2nd.
We are back on December 2nd. And
we don't guarantee any more after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just guaranteeing
the one.
Week at a time.
One on, 6 months off. That's my new schedule. I want to mention the t-shirts real quick. We got our Herm shirts in. We sent out all the orders. If you want a Herm shirt, do not delay. We only have 20 Herm shirts left.
Jeez. They went
so from that reorder, they went out, they flew out the door, so we only have 20 Herm shirts left. That goes across all sizes. So some sizes only have one or two left. So if you're thinking about a Herm shirt, or for the holidays, for a gift for somebody, don't wait, because there may not be any left in a month or so. So check those out, as well as the Power Responsibility shirts, which we still have some in red and blue. You can also email us at contact@ifanboy.com. They got a voicemail line at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697, which will be coming back next week. Questions, comments, concerns, discussion topics, et cetera. You can also, if you like us, write a review on iTunes for this show and for the Don't Miss Talks Below podcast. And for the video show, we appreciate all those reviews that help people find the shows when they're searching online for podcasts to listen to. Even better than that is to tell your friends and your buddies and your comic store friends and the psychic you go to find out what's going to happen next week.
Don't talk about Regis.
So help spread the word. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. So it's been fun being in the same room. We haven't done this in a while.
I've never had 2 men on my bed before.
It's kind of hot.
That's a lie.
Whoa, ayo. This is a weird show this week.
How's it feel being where the magic happens?
Oh.
He's like a one-man band.
Oh. All right. So until next week,
Symbols on his knees.
I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I am Joshua. I decided to say my whole name. I've never done that. And I'm Joshua Adam Flanagan. What's your name?
What creepy. You are into.
Then on our next date, well, you could bring your roommate. I don't know if Stu is keen to, but if you want, we could double team you.
How about you and two dudes, him, you, and Stu, in the nude, being lewd with two dudes with food? Well, that's if Stu's into it too.
All the things I do, things I do for you. If I only knew that's what you're into.
Echo.
Yeah.
I'm taking this off for the show.
Yeah.
You said the second Swamp Thing was different than the first?
I'll show you after. Yeah, the cover treatment's different. It's a rougher paper on the first one.
Oh. You're amassing quite the library here. Yep. And it's going to kill you one day. You realize that?
That's sturdy. That's not going anywhere. That's
yeah.
Yeah. Her falls straight through the floor.
which is not
building will just give way.
It's a floating bookshelf.
Like a marble on a wet tissue.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 absolutes.
All right, let's do this.
Did you buy Absolute Promethea?
Yeah.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
You like Promethea?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I liked it when it came out. All right, Ron,
you probably
ready?
Make a shit ton of money selling these on eBay, my friend.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
In 3, 2...
Oh, am I doing it? Oh, okay.
I think it's why I asked you if you were ready.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it. You know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.